smack all the hoes. Show love to those who come real with it. Life's a bitch, but I deal with it. I'm in it to win it like guys are meant. Could drink about 15 Heinekens. I'm not born again, but if I was, I'd ask to come back with a little more love. Puffing the Winston, drinking the 4-0. Kid rocking, I'ma let you know. In a bag of weed, a seed to plant so my tree can grow. You know I left my girl cause I don't need that. Hold up, wait a minute, I'm about to flow. Like a breeze through the trees, you can watch me blow. Puffing the Winston, drinking a 4-0. Kid rocking, I'ma let you know.
Well, welcome to the Situation Report for October 28th. Week in a day. Kid Rock, time. Appropriate song today, given it seems like everybody in the government is sitting back smoking right now. Not sure what they're actually doing besides thinking of new ways to destroy everything that was built over the last 200 years. Yeah, what an amazing time to be alive. All right, so let's start with Israel. Friday night, Israel attacks, drops bombs on Iran, and it's pretty much, you know, crickets in the mainstream media, crickets. And then come to find out that, well, two things, actually. First one is, didn't show up mainstream media. Second thing is, there wasn't a lot of collateral damage. Makes me wonder if it actually happened. Do you get the sense that this is not really a kinetic war? This is more of a wag the dog that's been orchestrated by MI6 and the CIA? I mean, yeah, McGregor could say whatever he wants that Israel lost a bunch of planes. That they, the Iranians got Russian AS-400 missiles, which are highly accurate, and I'm sure they got the sanctions for the F-35s. I'm pretty sure they do. They've learned a lot in Ukraine over the last 2 years. But the truth of the matter is, nobody really knows what came out of that strike. All I know is I was on the range Friday night with Troop shooting, and my phone blew up, and everybody was wanting BDA. Sorry, battle damage assessment. Well, hey, guess what? Probably never get BDA from that, if it ever happened. I'm not even convinced it even happened, to be honest with you. And if Israel lost a bunch of planes, okay, well, we'll see what happens. I just get the sense that both sides are being maneuvered by the intelligence agencies. I don't get the sense that this is a real kinetic war. Because look, if you were going to do something realistically to Iran, you'd go after their integrated air defense systems first. Then you'd go after their comms. Then you'd go after their nuke sites. And you would do it in an order so that you minimize the threat to your aircraft. Exactly what we did in the desert. First thing we went after, integrated air defenses, comms, and quote-unquote chemical weapons. That was the first things we went after. Literally all in one strike. So you're telling me that we rushed a bunch of tankers over there because those were our tankers that refueled them. They refueled, they went into Iran, and they bombed a couple of non-strategic targets in a de-escalation strike. What does that even mean, de-escalatory strike? It's just, there's too many red flags. But that's not even the worst part of the weekend. The worst part of the weekend was the Joe Rogan Trump interview. Did any of you guys listen to it? He literally acknowledged or said out loud, and I'm going to read it to you because it was sent to me this morning. By the way, thanks for that, Jesse, for sending that to me. I haven't watched the interview, and I didn't plan on watching the interview. But during the Rogan interview, Rogan says, "Mr. Trump, what's with the Q thing?" Well, Joe, as you know, the media is so fake. Incredible how fake they are, really. So when I won the first time, we had to reach the American people by going around the fake news. I work with the military and the generals, the good generals, not the TV generals. And we created the big, beautiful operation called Q to help wake up the people. We had to be so careful, but we did it. And my gosh, how successful was it? We had millions of people following it, Joe, millions and millions. The media couldn't stop talking about Q. And then they lied so much about it, almost as much as they lie about me. But it worked out really well. And, you know, maybe we'll bring it back in my second term. Maybe we will. We'll just have to see. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? So let's back up a little bit. So if that's real, which again, I didn't watch the interview, so, you know. Okay, good. He never said it. Good. Thank God, because that would be massively. The Q-tards would be massively insufferable. My God. Thank you. Okay, you watched the whole thing. All right, good. Never mind. I got that today. I was like, you got to be shitting me. But that sounds like something he would say. And then the other thing that was going on this weekend, glad we debunked that. Thank you. The other thing that's going on this weekend is you're seeing more and more rhetoric amping up about what's going to happen after the election. So you're seeing the shift, and I talked about this last week, you're seeing the shift in narratives. You're seeing the shift from the Black Swan event to Trump's going to win. then there's going to be social unrest, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then at the end of the, let's just say 3 months of violence, the narrative is they're not going to allow Trump into office. They're going to disqualify him because he's a felon. Whatever way that plays out, they're already amping up the rhetoric that there's going to be civil unrest in the cities. They're already amping up the rhetoric. And this is the other thing that happened last week that I talked about this last week too, that hey man, that's why I put it out. Cause if somebody is BSing me and I didn't watch the interview, it's like the rally at Madison Square Garden. I probably got 50 texts about the rally. So let me just get this out of the way so everybody understands what fucking page I'm on. I don't give a fuck about the renter in the White House. I don't care who's on stage. I don't care what they say. I don't care if Elon Musk dances up and down and his shirt is up around his neck. I don't care, because it's not going to matter. What matters is not the renter in the White House. What matters are the people around him. And what Trump has to do on day one when he walks into office is he has to arrest half of the Congress, if not all of it. And then he has to arrest almost all, if not every bit, of the SES crew. And I mean every single one of them. Then he needs to defund the FBI, DHS, CISA. He needs to go after and arrest everybody in the CFPB, Consumer Finance Protection Bureau. And then he needs to roll up all the judges, especially all the judges in New York that are compromised. I don't see any of that happening on day one. Just like I don't see Trump making the hard decisions to cut off aid to Israel. That's why I don't care about any of the rallies. I don't care about any of the anything he has to say. I could give two shits about what Trump has to say. Because at the end of the day, it's not going to matter what he says. It's going to matter what he does. And I've heard a lot of BS around, oh, he's already picked his cabinet and he's gone outside and he's funding his own transition team. Humma, humma. I'll believe it when I see it. I will believe that he is actually something different when I see him take action, when I see people being arrested. And then I watched a interview with Alex Craner, like Alex Craner and Tom Luongo. I think it was done last week on Sean Newman's show. It was their 16th time together. And oddly enough, my name came up a bunch of times in the interview. But the context was around my description of the Pentagon and how things really work at the Pentagon. But they were also talking about the fact that Americans want to see justice. If we're going to go through, and by the way, let me back up, because this ties into this. I've heard a lot of different things over the last week. Especially over the last week. This last weekend, it's just my phone blew up with all kinds of crazy shit. But let me address this head on. This Q stuff, the reason why it pisses me off so badly is because it's a PSYOP. It's a Pied Piper PSYOP. Follow me here, trust the plan, trust the players, and don't do anything if we steal the election. That was the game in 2020. We can't play that game again. We can't sit at home this time. We can't wait for the white hats to come save us. And by the way, if they do, and supposedly these people come out of the woodwork, and there's supposedly people in the background that have been working against the Kazarian Mafia, or whatever the fuck you want to call them, the deep state, the cabal. God, all the names are just retarded too. Let's say all that's true. And they come out and they say, yeah, we had to do all this stuff so that we could root out all the players. My answer would be, go fuck yourselves. I'm not going to live under your system anymore. I'm going to live under the old system, because this is more of the same backroom dope deals that got us here in the first place. That's just re-engineered with a new set of shitbags. There's not going to be any difference between the old system and the new system other than the players that are out front. That would be the only difference. That's the whole reason why this Q thing is nothing more than a psyop. And the fact that people make it a religion and are wrapped up in this idea that some post from 2017 proves that shit's happening now, you're retarded. Go look at what's really going on. Dr. Shiva said it the best. He said that both Harris and Trump blow the Zionists equally. And I believe that. I look at exactly what, and this is exactly what I'm talking about. Trump said, Netanyahu said, I'm going to go bomb Iran, Trump's answer was, do what you have to do. My answer been, what the fuck are you thinking? But instead, do what you have to do. That's not the right answer. Sorry. So fast forward to where we are now. All this Q stuff's being thrown in my inbox every day. And the funniest part of it is the whole Nisera Jisera stuff. I can't believe anybody believes that nonsense or the quantum financial system, but they do. And that's part of the reason why we can't reach a lot of people, because they are so wrapped up in this false narrative that they can't see straight. It's no different than the left, no different than the trans, the gay, and all the rest of that stuff that's being pushed into your face and thrust into every movie. It's the same thing. It's the same weak-minded nonsense to lure the weak-minded away from the real story, which is, this is the real story. They figured out that they can't overcome the votes that are coming in right now with the cheat, no matter what they do. So they're going to create political and social disruptions through kinetic, through protests, through direct action, you name it. And they are going to do it probably on election day, if not immediately after election day. And the question you have to ask is very simple. Are you going to be in the conflict zone or not in the conflict zone? Because whether you are or not, innocent people are going to get hurt. But they are pulling out all the stops. And that's because they've realized that the American people have turned on them in totality. And they wanted a slow burn to where they could justify and show, make the numbers look just close enough that Harris just snuck in there. But she's so unpopular and so unmarketable that there's no way that they can beat Trump in the polls. But that's not the issue. Issue is the down ballot. Everybody focuses on the presidential election, just like they did in 2020. They focused on they didn't focus on the down ballot at all, and that's what they took as the down ballot. So not only are they going to try and keep Trump out of office, they are going to steal the down ballot, and they are going to build a two-thirds majority so that they could change the Constitution. That's been the game all along. They need to disarm us, and they need to shut us up. They need to take away the First Amendment and the Second Amendment. And it wouldn't surprise me if all this nonsense is being fed into the system right now when there's something else, potentially even worse, that's around the corner. The point is, I don't believe anything I'm seeing right now. I don't believe anything that comes out of Trump's mouth. I definitely don't believe anything that comes out of Harris's mouth. I don't believe anything that's coming out of the White House. I don't believe anything that's coming out of the State Department. I definitely don't believe anything that's coming out of DHS. Where my head is right now, and that's, you know, I got to qualify something here. I spend my day looking at things that matter, meaning I'm watching what's going on in Ireland, because to me, Ireland is a canary in the coal mine. I'm watching what's going on in the UK. I'm watching what's going on in Ukraine. I'm watching I'm watching what's going on in Ukraine. I'm paying attention to what's going on in the state legislatures. Because I don't know if you all have caught it, but all the states now are starting to pass legislation related to the Second Amendment. Almost every single one of them, right on time. So I'm not paying attention to politics or any of the Hollywood stars or the Diddy stuff. I don't care about any of that stuff because it's not going to be resolved before next week. And more importantly, it's not going to be resolved before January. And the next 3 months are going to be pivotal to our country. Every time I get something across the wire, it's just like, you know, everybody's sending me tidbits about how they think things are going to go. I don't know how things are going to go. I'm not going to sit and postulate on what exactly is going to happen because I don't know. I don't know what the enemy has in store. I do know this. They have multiple lines of operation to choose from. They have multiple avenues of approach to destroy the country. They could do it economically. They can do it socially. They can do it through the infrastructure. They can do it through logistics, or they can do it by taking out our water systems. They could do all of those things simultaneously. At the same time, they can create chaos within the cities. They can create chaos across country and lines of communication by taking down communications, and they can create chaos by taking down the road system. And it would be very easy to take down the road system. A couple of key bridges, and this place is divided into four or five different regions. And people are so locked into to what Trump's saying every day. Who cares? If the guy never sees office, who gives two shits about what he says? Especially when every time he turns around, it's make Israel great again. We don't need any more of that shit in the White House. We need realistic people that put this country first and are loyal to the Constitution to be running the show. And I don't know a lot of those people. Everybody I've worked with in the last couple of weeks has an agenda. Whatever that agenda is, they have an agenda. And it doesn't matter if they're political, law enforcement, if they're intelligent, doesn't matter. 95% of the people I've talked to in the last month all have an agenda. Shocking why we can't come together as a country. Shocking. But that's not even the worst of the nonsense I heard this weekend, this Trump shit view. God, I'm glad that's fake. But again, this proves my point from 6-7 months ago. Can't believe anything you see. Assume everything is bullshit. And my God, the level of stupid has risen exponentially. The number of things that people are publishing that are just downright lies is amazing to me. And that's the other thing. Once we get control of the country again, we need to do away with the ability for any journalist or journalistic organization to lie to the American people. And we need to throw the intelligence agencies out on their ass. We need to defund them completely. That's what got us into this program. And look, I've watched the Ted, the Jack Cruz interview with both Mike Ferris and the first one he did. I watched those twice now, two or three times, actually. Here's what I take away from that. First, he believes what he's saying. He believes that General Groves is the one that started the deep state. I'm not convinced of that because Alan Dulles was not prodigy of Groves, and he was not affiliated with Groves in any way, shape, or form until probably after the war. And he was already in the process of creating the Central Intelligence Agency long before the war was over. And Alan Dulles was also the only American who had direct contact with the Nazis during the war. So I don't buy everything that he believes. But by the same token, there's a lot of compelling things in that. The thing I take away from it, the biggest thing I take away from it is we need to completely revamp the entire federal government and strip it of all of the powers it has to the point where they're begging for permission to do things versus what we have now, the centralized control that's completely controlled by people who use fear and intimidation and nothing else. That has to stop. That has to go away. And we need to do away with a lot of the social programs we have. They're killing us. Social Security was never designed to be around forever, but look at where it is now. And my point of saying all this is, I don't know who these people are, if there's enough people like me that view the situation the same way to be able to go and make a difference and do it rapidly enough to where we can reset the country without a massive impact, both economically as well as socially to the country. I don't know if there's people that can actually step up and do it, if there's enough. And that's the biggest question. Are there enough people to go in and reform the government and rebuild it from the ground up and then build enough safeguards into it where special interests, lobbyist firms, law firms, et cetera? Because the piece that needs to be unwound that has turned the federal government into an infection is the public-private partnerships. Because of the public-private partnerships and the way that they've intermingled law firms, lobbyist firms, special interests into the government to mask their activities, literally have to dismantle entire departments and then rebuild them from the ground up. With OSHA, with the FDA, with Department of Homeland Security, which DHS should never exist, shouldn't have existed anyway. It's like the ODI, Office of Director of Intelligence. That shouldn't exist either. The whole reason it was put in place anyway was, quote unquote, to make sure all the intelligence organizations work together. No, it was to consolidate all the intelligence information so the fucking British could leverage all of our intelligence assets for MI6. And put it under quote unquote Five Eyes. It's not really what it was for, but that's my bitterness and apathy and bias showing through. The biggest thing we need to do when this is over is we need to throw the city of London the fuck out of our country and out of our politics for good. I've never seen anything so corrupt in my life than what I'm watching right now. That said, the things to watch over the next several weeks. First, watch what's going on with Iran and with Israel. I think that this is wag the dog, and I don't think it's going to go anywhere unless Harris gets in office. Then they will go full court press. Trump gets in office. I think we'll see a respite. I think we'll see people pull back from the edge. But all that's a facade, too. I think that's a facade to put people back to sleep so they can maintain the status quo and continue with the slow burn to implement the social scoring system. Because here's the piece I don't see Trump talking about. He's not talking about doing away with the social scoring system. He's not talking about doing away with all the censorship grid. The only people that are talking about that are people in alternative media. Nobody in the campaign trail is talking about, not even Kerry Lake. And to give you some idea of how screwed the political landscape here is in Arizona. So Stephen Richer was called out for the fact that the voter rolls are tainted here and that his voting training, his training for poll workers was basically to convert every vote they can to Harris and to a blue ballot. That's literally what the training was all about. And no matter what you vote, if they question your vote, just like in most of the other swing states, you're going to vote blue. What I'm waiting for is showing up and having them tell me I've already voted. That's what I'm waiting for. That's how bad the cheating is. And they've set conditions so that nobody accept the outcome. I won't accept the outcome. I'm already seeing the malfeasance going on right now. And this is the thing. You hear the hype around, you know, early numbers show Trump, blah, blah, blah. We heard that in 2020. We heard that in 2022 with Lake. And what happened? They still cheated. And then Maricopa County just came out and said they're going to take 10 to 16 days to vote. Where's Gina Swoboda? Oh, that's right. The GOP here is just as controlled as it was under Kelly Ward. She's just as worthless as Kelly Ward. She's done absolutely. She tells her staff, this is what I love, tells her staff, I'm working on voter integrity or election integrity. Okay, what the fuck does that mean? I thought that's what everybody was doing, working on election integrity. So what are you doing, bitch? Are you actually doing election integrity, or are you blowing the elite in Scottsdale? Because I can't differentiate which one you're doing, because I don't see any action. Maricopa County comes out and says they're going to take 10 to 16 days. And you know what we hear from this bitch? Crickets. Not a thing. Not one word. Crickets. Yeah, I'm going to buy the outcome of that election. They've set conditions so nobody will buy the outcome. This is exactly how they've done it. They've bought everybody off. And that this is the part that probably boggles a lot of people's minds. I routinely get asked, why do people go along with this when they know the system's so broken? Because they've been told that the money's going to be there. And when you're only thinking one or two layers deep and you're a believer, you're going to go with whatever they tell you. And most of these people are believers. They believe that what they're doing is right and that the orange man is bad. They don't realize that both candidates are being played, and we're all being played by this whole system. Even the players inside the system are getting played right now. And the end state is they've set conditions so that they could create civil unrest artificially, and then they could declare martial law. That's what I see them trying to do. And then I see Americans rebelling wholesale. Because the line in the sand literally is martial law for most Americans. You declare martial law, civil war. But it won't be a civil war. It's going to be a revolution. Because I think most people on the other side of the fence have figured out that they're being played too. So I think that's what we're going to see. Now, do I think we're going to get to Election Day? I don't know. 10 days is a long time. And most importantly, they can pull out all the stops. And they will. Because look, this is existential for a lot of these people. And this time, this is where I depart from Tom Luongo and his assessment. So Luongo's assessment is that Obama's not going to get rolled up. The Clintons aren't going to get rolled up. The Bushes aren't going to get rolled up. This is going to be a dope deal. We'll give you this guy. And we'll take this guy. And I'm here to say that no. No more dope deals. No more backroom deals. No more trades. No more plea deals. These people go to fucking prison for treason. These people have committed treason against our country. Some of them have committed crimes against humanity. I don't care what rank, I don't care what level, I don't care what job they've held. Obama is a fucking traitor. Obama stands trial for treason. He stands trial for crimes against humanity, and he stands trial for pedophilia. He went to the island. He associated himself with Jeffrey Epstein, which means he was compromised. That means the world sees the tapes. He gets his justice. And again, we move on. None of them get a deal. None of them get a pass. No more of this. we're disconnected from politics and we're going to let the elite sort this out. They've had their 15 minutes at the mic. Now it's time for the American people to get off their ass, stand up, take their country back, and install a government that's for the people and by the people. No more of this. The elite can live with the social contract. And the social contract up to this point has been the elite and the political elite can go and live this opulent life as long as they make decisions that are beneficial for the American people. Every one of these people have enriched themselves. They have broken the rules. They've architected the laws to exonerate themselves of any responsibility or any kind of accountability. I'm sorry, but moving forward, they're all going to be held to account. We don't make deals and let some of them live and some of them don't live. No, they all stand trial for treason. Every single one of them that was compromised, everyone that committed treason, they stand trial. Full stop. We stop this now. And somebody played a meme which one was it? It was Star Trek First Contact, where Picard's on the bridge. He's in his quarters. And they keep falling back. And he says, "We keep falling back. The line's drawn here. They go no further." That's where I'm at. This is the line. They go no farther. We push them back now, all the way back. And we take this all the way to the finish line. This goes all the way back to Europe. This goes all the way back to the elite. We root out every one of them. We expose all their secrets. We expose all their secret organizations, and we run them to ground. We leave them no place left to hide. We expose them to the light. We run them to ground, and we hold them to account. Even if that takes a decade, we hold them to account. I'm not going to put up with any more dope deals. That's why this Q stuff drives me crazy. Because if any of that was real, and there was white hats, and they came out and said, we've eliminated the deep state. It's a fight for the fate of the world. Okay, go fuck yourself. Because it's about time to rip the Band-Aid off and show the entire public how stupid and duped they've been and show the world what's really been going on and what these people have really been up to. And then we'll see what the public's going to put up with. And we stop rewriting history. We start doing deep dives into history and we get to the root of what's happened and where we've been lied to and where history's been rewritten. Because if we don't, we might as well be a communist country. Because at the end of the day, if we can't believe our own history, there's no point. We get what we deserve. The thing to remember moving forward is there's going to be a ton of uncertainty, but more importantly, there's going to be a ton of ambiguity. It's going to be very hard to navigate. You're not going to have a compass when all this stuff starts to go and we start to get into these chaotic situations. I guarantee you it's going to be very, very chaotic and you're not going to have a rudder. And that's why I'm disconnecting from all the noise, especially the noise around the politics and the noise related to the campaigns. It doesn't matter. Anybody who's going to vote's already decided who they're voting for, and there's not a rally or a disclosure that's going to change their mind at this point. The point is, show up and vote, or drop off your mail-in ballot, whatever you're going to do, vote. I'm going to vote in person. And I am fully well expecting there to be some kind of violence or some kind of a glitch with the machines, you name it. I'm fully well expecting there to be some kind of a situation where there's disruption to the polling centers, just like there was in 22. They programmatically broke the machines and then ran for cover saying that it wasn't a problem. Okay. Hickman and Bill Gates, they are two of the biggest fucking lying sacks of shit and corrupt pieces of shit in Arizona. How these two assholes have made it out of prison is beyond me. But they, after this, they're going to be held to account. Either way, use this week for two things. One, take a step back. Quiet reflection, center, get squared away, get right with God. Tell the people around you how you feel about them. Don't hold back and be ready for anything. And most importantly, make human connections, especially now. After this, all bets are off. And who knows, it might be a slow burn until January and Trump comes to office. I just don't see it happening that way. But use this time now for your final set of things to get prepared, things to get organized, go through your gear one more time, and hang out and live your life. I'm completely disconnecting from the political scene this week. I'm not going to follow it. I don't care about it. I didn't care about the Rogan interview. In fact, I cared so little about it, I didn't even look up when it was or how long it was. I don't care because it's not going to change anything. It's not going to change how I vote. It's not going to change. It's not going to change the way I vote. It's not going to change how I react after I walk away from the polling station. Not going to change anything. So why spend time worrying about it? I am, however, going to spend time with people I care about. I am going to tell the people that I care about how I feel about them. And most importantly, I'm going to let my family know how I feel about them. I'm not going to waste any more time on nonsense that disconnects me from that. And I suggest you do the same. Disconnect from the bullshit. Because it is all bullshit. Everything we're seeing right now is BS. And last but not least, I'm not scared of what's going to happen. I'm not worried about it. I'm not going to spend any time worrying about it. Whatever's going to happen is supposed to happen. And God's will. Just give it up to him and move out. That's all you can do. Can't do anything else. And most of us have probably already gotten to that place anyway a couple of weeks ago. Most people feel like they're in a holding pattern right now. I'm not in a holding pattern. I'm doing things. I'm doing things to get organized. I'm doing things to get people around me organized. And I'm just diligently and patiently waiting for things to kick off, whatever that may be. And hey, if I'm pleasantly surprised, hey, great. But I don't think so. I don't see things that way. I think the next order of battle is going to be chaotic. It's going to be civil disorder. And I think it's the next order of battle that we have to go through as a country. Whatever it takes for people to realize that all of this political nonsense and all this cultural and racial shit that they pushed into our culture so that they create strife and divide everybody, at some point people are going to realize that's nonsense. You're going to have a small portion on either side of the bell curve that's not going to be convinced no matter what. But it's the center where you're going to see a bulk of the people realize they've been lied to and that this political nonsense does not and should not come between real people. Once that happens, there won't be enough of them to roll everybody up. But we have to go through the turmoil first for people to get there. At least that's how I see it. I don't see people getting there on their own before. But I will tell you this. I was on the phone today trying to order a firearm. And the supplier I was working with, I said, you know, this gun's been out of stock forever. And it's not really a, you know, it's not an AR. It's not a pistol. You know, it's a bolt action rifle that not a lot of people order. That's usually not hard to get. But wow. He was telling me that ammo, they can't keep ammo on the shelves. They can't keep ARs on the shelves. They can't keep pistols on the shelves. And now they're seeing hunting rifles and shotguns flying off the shelves. That should tell you that people know something's coming. And it's not people buying, you know, their 10th or 15th or 20th or 100th gun. These are new gun owners that are buying guns because they are so worried about what's coming. And on top of that, you know, I've gotten calls from several guys that I served with that are all concerned. And they're looking for options for evacuating their areas. Some of them live in floodplains. Some of them live in, urban areas that are pretty dense. And they're starting to think through it too. And these are guys that haven't prepped at all. But now they're starting to think, if I need to get out of here, I need to have a plan. So people are seeing what's going on. They are seeing and reading the tea leaves, and they're not liking what they're seeing. So, and I will say this too. I have had more technology issues in the last 3 weeks than any other time in my life. I have things that just mysteriously don't work. I've run forensic stuff on the boxes I'm using to see if there's anybody on the box. If they're actually intruding into the box, they're very sophisticated, because can't get my camera to work, can't get my USB work switches on and off. And it's not the board. These machines are almost brand new. I'm telling you, I think we're going to see cyber in the next couple of months. It sure is starting to seem like they're testing the system to see what they can get away with. And I'm also seeing that they're conducting denial of service attacks. That's usually reconnaissance before they do something. And there's too many weird indications. Like this morning, I was on a Teams call this morning, and literally, selectively, people's machines just dropped off and restarted on their own. Like one of the guys on my team, literally, he just dropped off, came back on, and he goes, my machine just mysteriously restarted. And then like a minute later, mine restarted. And then a minute after that, somebody else's restarted. Literally like they were going through everybody on the call and restarting their machines remotely through Teams. I don't know how they did it, but wow. Yeah, I've heard about the cyber exercise on 11/5. They're conducting DHS is conducting a cyber contingency or some bullshit. The one you need to worry about is CISA, because CISA has gone out and set up offices outside the US so they can manipulate the boat through the machines from an offshore location. So they're not accountable to US law enforcement. That's what you need to worry about. And I think we're going to see some crazy stuff on election day. Don't count on the mainstream media reporting anything accurately. They're going to be kicking and screaming all the way along. Don't assume that our foreign adversaries are not going to interject into the election, because they will. I mean, look at Cyber Ninjas. They proved with just a cursory review of the EAS servers that there was 800 outside connections from outside the U.S. into the machines just in Arizona. So imagine what they're doing across the country and who's doing it. I definitively think that this is already a done call deal, and that they are working aggressively to install Harris. I don't think it's going to work out for them, but they're going to try. Lastly, before I wrap this up, and I realize some of this was a rant, but I'm seeing more and more of the Q stuff being amped up, and I've seen a lot of it. And I've, as much as I can, I stop paying attention to it, but it's amazing how much of it's out there. What amazes me even more is how many thousands of views these things get. Like there's a post on Benjamin Fulford's channel, and I don't even know if it's his channel, on Rumble, where this gal just sits there and reads Q posts, and there's like 20 or 30,000 views on every video. I got nothing. Absolutely nothing. But that's the stuff that I've been trying to break apart for the last couple of weeks to figure out what the real narratives are. And here's the narratives that I'm seeing. Still anti-woman, anti-family, anti-Christian, anti-monogamous, anti-nuclear family. There's still a lot of satanic, although that's kind of moved in the direction of pedophilia versus some of the overt satanic stuff that I was seeing before. I'm seeing a lot of information on aliens now, and sightings, and you know, this disclosure by DOD that they can't track stuff, blah blah blah. That's all narrative. The thing that I think is real narrative is the social disorder, using the Congress to change it to the Constitution, using the Congress to disqualify Trump. And it says a lot that Mitch McConnell is leaving the Senate in November, as well as a few others. That's all signal. And that is, they're replacing changing the guard. And I don't have any faith that this election is going to put good people in. In fact, I don't believe there's any good people left in the system. They're all compromised in some way, shape, or form. The one narrative that I'm very interested in seeing how it plays out is the narrative around the cyber attack. I've seen that now in three different Kincan nations. Each one's different. Each Kincan nation involves infrastructure. And then there was who did the interview? Tucker Carlson did the interview with RFK's niece, I think it was. And she was talking about critical infrastructure, again, another CIA asset that was interviewed by a CIA asset, talking about how good the CIA used to be. Huh, mama? Yeah, we're not the bad guy. Go fuck yourselves. Again, with the CIA, show me that you're not nefarious. Show me that you're actually trying to turn things around in the U.S., then I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. But until I see something that's overt that the CIA is involved with to help the American people, I'm just going to assume that you're the enemy, because that's the only thing you have been for the last 50 years, is the enemy. And you've been completely inept at regime change as well as everything else that you've gotten this country into. But she came on and was talking about how susceptible the infrastructure is to some kind of a solar event or an EMP. That's an interesting narrative, because the timing of it was literally a week before the election. That is a very interesting narrative, because it's different than the narrative that Ben Davidson is talking about with the pole shift and with some kind of a solar strike. She was directly talking about EMP weapons and super EMP weapons, which I haven't heard those terms in a very, very long time. And we spent a bunch of money trying to protect against those different types of weapons and tools. So I think the timing is very interesting. On an administrative note, before I wrap this up, I'm not sure I'm doing a show on Wednesday. We'll do the roundtable on Thursday, and then I'll be back on Monday. I've decided part of what it is I want to see how things develop before Monday. I want to take a hiatus before the election. So I'm thinking I'm going to
I'm going to pause on the Wednesday show and do the roundtable on Thursday and see where things are at. I ordered some of the red lens goggle or the red lens glasses that Jack Cruz was talking about. They're red. Definitely changed. I ordered just readers, which were like, I don't know, $200 for readers. It's 100% blocks the blue light. It's night and day difference in looking at the screen. And what's interesting is you can see how much blue is in the screen and how much, it's just weird. Takes a bit to get used to, but yeah, they're red lenses, that's for sure. If you haven't gone out and looked at them, the site is called, I'll tell you exactly what the site's called here. It is called Lucia Eyes, L-U-C-I-A, Eyes. And the readers that I bought cost, the exact amount of the cost here. Yeah, $187. And that's 100%, supposedly 100% blue light blockage. So worth looking into. I think there is something to it. But it'll take a bit of adjustment to get used to looking, you know, at a screen through them. But supposedly it's very, very good for your, according to Jack, it's very good for you, blocks all the blue light. And if you're like me and you sit in front of a computer screen pretty much all day long, you get a lot of blue light. So if this helps break some of that up, pay them all in. It's worth investing in at least to see if there's a difference. Because I can tell you that the health problems I've had over the years, most of my stuff started with the anthrax shot in 04. Up until then, I was healthy. I didn't have any issues. After the anthrax shot, couldn't regulate my body temperature. I had low testosterone. I had all kinds of issues focusing on things. I had all kinds of issues with being sick for weeks on end, and slowly turned a lot of that around. But I didn't realize it until I gained a bunch of weight and had stress fractures in my shins that there was something seriously wrong. But I trace it all the way back to the anthrax shot. That's when I was sitting in 120 degree heat in the desert, freezing my ass off. And I could not figure out why it was so cold. No fever, no runny nose, no symptoms whatsoever, freezing my ass off. In fact, I'd be in the air conditioned office. I'd be wearing a parka in there because I was so cold. And everybody's laughing at me, but I'm like, there's something seriously wrong. I'm telling you, it was the anthrax shot. Started almost immediately after it. Could have been the yellow fever, could have been the smallpox, you name it. All the shit that they jacked us up with before we went overseas. Could be any of that. So if this helps, and the red lens cuts down on some of the issues I've had, hey, so be it. I don't mind looking like a geek for, you know, if it means I'm going to be healthier. Last but not least. So somebody asked me about the shirts. The shirts are in the description. I saw a lot of shirts. I missed one at the range. Sean was wearing a shirt at the range gray with dark blue. One team, one fight. Totally missed it. And, yeah, totally missed it. I was like completely status out. But yeah, somebody asked me about shirts. It's in the description of every show now. You can go out to Spreadshirt and order the shirts. It's the cheapest option. If I stock shirts, it means I have to ship them. I have to track the orders. I have to do all the rest of it. At the end of the day, that's just too much overhead for what I want to do. Besides, the whole point of this is to spread awareness and get people to start working together. I don't need to make money off that. So it is what it is. But if you do anything and you hear anything today, hear this. Take downtime this week. This week is the time to check out and get ready for what's coming. Take that last week of and relax as much as you can and reset. because you may not get another chance. I'll be back on Thursday. God bless. One team, one fight.